This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
And you're tuned into the Morning Run right here on BFM 89.9. Han and Joyce here, keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. It's now 47 minutes past 8 a.m. Now, if you missed the Breakfast Grill that just aired, that was with YB Stephen Sim. He's the Deputy Minister for Youth and Sports. If you missed it, you can always download the podcast available on the BFM app. That's going to be uploaded in a few hours from now. Also, BFM's podcasts are now available on Spotify, so you can check us out there as well. Can't live stream from there yet, but the live stream, of course, available not just on the FM frequencies, but also via the BFM app. All right, Joyce, time now to look at the top business stories of the day. Let's start with this latest decision from Bank Negara. They plan to flag cash transactions exceeding 25,000 ringgit starting next year. Now, previously, currently, the threshold was at 50,000 ringgit. It's set to be halved down to 25,000 ringgit effective January 1st. That's when it gets flagged to the central bank.
That's right. And Governor Dato' Nor Samsiah Mohamad Yunus said that the move to halve the current deposits threshold is part of the central bank's efforts to curb money laundering and a black economy. And Han, did you know that Malaysia ranks 10th in the list of illicit money outflows and money laundering offences in the world?
Yeah, I'm surprised, but also not surprised at that though, which is a bad sign.
And currently Malaysia, we have among the highest mandatory cash deposit threshold. We're even higher than the US that stands at $10,000.
Yeah, so the rationale for this move by the central bank, you know, is so that it will help mitigate financial crime. There are some quotes carried in today's business dailies here, you know, whereby the Bank Negara governor referenced some high-profile cases over the past year or so.
Oh, I wonder what case that is.
Wonder what she's talking about, right? So, you know, the idea here is that by lowering the threshold, then you have less of this cash economy, so to speak, but then they are moving perhaps over into the digital banking space. You know, that could be a push towards the digitization of such transactions as opposed to walking around with that briefcase full of cash.
Yeah, and the governor also said that the move is necessary given commerce in Malaysia is still heavily cash reliant. Mm. Actually, stats show that, you know, when it comes to transaction, about 80% is still done in cash.
Right.
And looking at the reporting obligations are imposed on banks and licensed casinos as well.
All right, so what does all this mean, not just for the men on the street, but also for the banks? So, you know, one would expect a rise in compliance costs, but you've got the Compliance Officers Networking Group Chairman, V. Maslamani, who's saying that, well, this actually would be very minimal, again, in terms of compliance costs, given the volume of vetted transactions there, because most banks here in Malaysia currently already have automated the data capturing this process anyway. So very minimal in terms of compliance costs for the bank.
Yeah, so Han, this cash threshold report, right, it involves physical currencies and traveler's checks, but excludes bank drafts, checks, electronic transfers, or fixed deposit rollovers, as well as renewals.
Right, so, you know, if you are getting paid over 25,000 ringgit in a month, you know, that's not something to worry about. This is, again, the physical currencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Physical currencies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's the update from the central bank. There are still, in going back to some of these high profile cases, let's talk about 1MDB. So yesterday, the Attorney General announced that the government will be challenging that $5.78 billion agreement or consent award between 1MDB and IPIC.
Yeah, so under the consent award, Malaysia has to pay some $5.8 billion to IPIC and the bond trustee over a 5-year period. It has so far paid just under $1.5 billion, with the next interest payment of $50 million due on November 11th.
Yeah, and look, the current Ministry of Finance has been paying those, you know, whatever is due, and they have previously iterated their commitment to make sure those obligations are met. But now the Attorney General is saying, you know, not only are they going to challenge that agreement, but also perhaps try to recover some of the funds that have already played. I'm very interested to see how this plays out. Obviously, the good faith negotiations that have ensued, apparently, after, recall when IPIC accused 1MDB of being in default, you know, so then there was these good faith negotiations. I think given this legal challenge, I think, you know, not much has really come out of those negotiations here. So we'll see how this plays out in the court over there in England.
Yeah, so according to Attorney General Tommy Thomas, the basis of Malaysia's legal challenge is that the award was procured by fraud or in a manner contrary to public policy. And he added that fraud is an established ground to challenge the consent award for public policy reasons.
So again, just to give you guys some numbers here, some $1.46 billion had already been paid. So there's a balance of $4.32 billion. So the idea is to perhaps recover that $1.5 billion or so, and then free us from the obligation or future obligations. So again, we'll wait and see. So that's on the Attorney General side. Now you've got the former Auditor General there, Tan Sri Amrin Buang, who has weighed in on the 1MDB saga as well.
Yeah, he was Auditor General from February 2006 until his retirement on February 2017. And recently, he shared details of the difficulties his department faced in verifying 1MDB accounts. And some of the complicating factors were the huge sum of money involved, the high-profile personalities involved, and the international transactions, and the task of, you know, verifying the work of both external and internal auditors.
Yeah.
But I find the timing of it quite interesting, though. Now only he's coming out to say this,
right? Because he was the Auditor General, like you said, from 2016 to 2017.
From February 2006
to February 2017. So in short, he has labelled 1MDB a disgrace. He also criticised 1MDB for the mandate that they had because it goes against what Petronas is doing, you know, as an oil and gas venture. Also, it rivals Khazanah. They are the state investment arm, right? So what was 1MDB's role, really? In short, he labels it a disgrace. Keep in mind that these comments follow some allegations that the Auditor General's report into 1MDB had allegedly been tampered with as well. You know? So, yeah, again, we'll kind of see how that all plays out.
Yeah, also in the news, we have a retirement fund, Quop, the CEO, Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman Wan Ahmad, who has confirmed that he'll be stepping down from his post.
Yeah, so he has held this post since May 2013. He was on the Breakfast Grill not too long ago. Again, you can find that podcast on the BFM app. And there were stories, you know, recently about how, you know, he could be stepping down. So here we actually have Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman confirming his resignation.
I've tendered with a 3 months notice period. I think the notice period is 3 months, effective 1st November till January, end January. So I can be anytime on garden leave between that period.
That was Dato' Wan Kamaruzaman Wan Ahmad, the CEO of Kuap. That's the public pension fund there. So no news or no details yet about who could replace him, possibly by the end of January, if not sooner. Because like you said, he couldn't be on garden leave anytime between anytime during those 3 months.
Yeah, also in the news on Kuap, he has said that, you know, it is challenging to achieve a return of over 6% this year. That was achieved consistently over the past few years, Han. And then now, I guess with what's happening in the markets, the volatility and all that, Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman is saying that, you know, that it could be tough to achieve that 6% return.
All right. So I'm being told here that a possible candidate lined up to replace Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman could be Syed Hamada Othman. He's a consultant who has done work in pension funding and actuarial retirement.
Oh.
So, yeah, we'll see how that pans out. So if that becomes official as well. But,
interesting.
You know, whoever replaces Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman, right? I mean, those issues still remain because the biggest problem that Kuap is facing right now is that they cannot generate enough returns to take over fully the government's pension obligations and liabilities. Because right now, even with all the funds that are deposited and all the returns that they're making, guess what? They have no payouts. So no liabilities right now, zero liabilities. So everything just gets reinvested. The idea is that Kuap has to grow bigger and bigger and bigger so that hopefully one day they can eventually take on those responsibilities. But they have not been able to grow fast enough. We have seen those numbers from the government. Right, how much of a share that the government has to pay out, you know, in terms of pensions and also salaries every single month. We'll get some, hopefully, some updated figures this Friday when Budget 2019 is coming out. So ultimately, whoever goes on to replace Dato Wan Kamaruzzaman, he or she will then have to, you know, shoulder that burden, which is, again, a huge, huge task here.
That's right. And Dato Wan, actually, he's a firm advocate of building a pension system that's sustainable. I think during his tenure, he had pointed out that the government still had to inject money to build up the pension system,
right,
and that it will take some years before, you know, pension liabilities of the government would be supported by Co-op.
Right.
And I guess this recent news of Dato Wan leaving, I guess it's part of a long list of new names that have been personalities and leaders that have had to go because of the change in government.
Yeah, you know, of course, the head of Khazana as well, Tan Sri Azman. Well, there's a change around in the EPF, between EPF and Khazana. of course, in the corporate sector as well. Yeah, CIMB, PNB, the list goes on and on, mm-hmm, right? So, again, what does this mean for each of us or taxpayers, right? Because right now, taxpayers are still funding the pensions and the payouts for civil servants, right? Because, again, Co-op cannot yet fulfill its mandate. So, again, hopefully, either there are some reforms in place or in the pipeline, or I think one of the things that they're talking about is perhaps moving some of the civil service over to the EPF, perhaps, or something along those lines. You know, whatever it is, you know, hopefully taxpayers, the burden on taxpayers can be alleviated if the civil pension fund can get its act right.
That's right, Han. You mentioned Syed Hamada Othman. This story in Starbiz says that he, who is a mathematician and a fellow at of the Faculty of Actuaries UK, he will assume the post on November 1st. That's tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, there we go. Well, interesting update there. All right, with the little time that we have left, let's look at Facebook here. This is a fun one because Facebook has just reported quarterly earnings roughly in line with expectations, although some of their numbers have beat analysts' forecasts. Revenue coming in slightly lower than expectations, but not a significant shortfall. How did that translate into stocks? There was a sell down a little bit, but then it rebounded after that.
Yeah, looking at their revenue figures, they made 13.73 billion US dollars. Monthly active users stood at 2.2 billion users.
Yeah, and also perhaps this is alleviating some of the concerns surrounding Facebook given the controversies that they have had to endure in recent months. All right, we are coming up to the 9 a.m. news bulletin, but stay tuned after that because we also will give you some live numbers from the local bourse right here on BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.